Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
When you travel abroad, are you aware of how to find the best rates and fees for currency conversion? Which credit card is the most user-friendly to small businesses? Are you going to be able to collect all those rewards that you've piled up on your credit card? Well, credit cards are a big issue, and CardHub.com has some very significant answers for you. My guest is Odysseus Papadimitriou, and he is with the CEO of CardHub.com. Odysseus, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, these are some very interesting subjects. I was really intrigued about the difference in rates and fees that you pay when you're converting currency for travel abroad. And since we know that our area has a lot of people who do a lot of international travel, let's talk about some of the ways we can save them some money. So tell me, what prompted this study?
So this is a study, actually, that we do every year at CardHub. And the reason we do it is because a lot of people are trying to find savings when they travel abroad, and for good reason. And we were shocked when we realized that actually just using the right vehicle to convert your currency from U.S. dollars to whatever foreign currency you use can easily save you up to 10%. And so that can be significant savings when you consider that 10% on your overall expenses and not just on your hotel or your airfare.
Right. So all of these things, I mean, that can add up to significant money, my gracious, especially when you start rolling in hotel fees, dining out fees, car rental fees, all of those things. So you can use certain cards and get a real advantage if you're careful, right?
That's right. So we compared which one is the best option in terms of converting currency with a credit card, with a debit card, using your bank before you leave or your credit union before you leave for your trip to convert currency, or using one of these airport services like TravelX, or some of, and we could kind of use TravelX as a proxy, if you will, for the similar type of services that you find when you land to the foreign country.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what we found out is that the cheapest option by far is to use a no foreign transaction fee credit card or a no foreign fee debit card. Now, the no foreign fee debit cards are much harder to find. We were only able to locate a handful of those.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of no foreign transaction fee credit cards. And actually, it's better to get a credit card than a debit card because you also get better fraud protection when you're traveling.
Yes, it doesn't expose you to as much risk as you do with a debit card.
That's
right.
Exactly right. And, you know, the last thing you want is to start seeing money getting removed from your bank account while you're abroad. Whereas with your credit card, even if it gets lost and there is fraud, you're not liable for any of that money, plus no money has gotten removed from your bank account.
Yeah, your bank account hasn't been emptied as it could be if you were the victim of fraud. Yeah, that's an excellent point. Okay, let's start out. Is there one credit card that has no fee? Visa, MasterCard, I think those are some. Does American Express? What are the cards? Do you have a kind of a working list of cards that don't have exchange fees?
Yeah, absolutely. So we recommend actually getting a Visa or a MasterCard.
Okay.
The reason for that is from when it comes to international acceptability, they're just much more ubiquitous than American Express or Discover.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the issuers that are really active in this space is, number one, is Capital One, whose all of their cards are either on the Visa or MasterCard network and they do not have foreign transaction fees.
Okay.
Another issuer that increasingly has more cards that with no foreign transaction fee, but not all of their cards are in that gamut, is Chase and Citibank.
Mm-hmm. And so you really have to do some shopping around to find the right cards, don't you, and ask the correct questions.
That's right. And at CardHub, we have a list of all the no foreign transaction fee cards, which can really help consumers locate the one that's best for their needs.
And that's at CardHub.com.
That's correct.
Okay. So folks, go to cardhub.com and save yourself some money. You know, and that can save people a lot of time too, because you're much better equipped because of your history in the credit card industry than most of us are when we start out. You know, we're thinking, oh my goodness, especially for people who are traveling abroad, perhaps for the first time. For the seasoned business traveler, they probably know a lot of the answers, but an awful lot of people are going abroad and they're not really, they don't do it that often. And so consequently, they need some help, and I think you're offering it to them.
Yeah, and one thing that a lot of people do not realize is that you do not even have to leave the country to be assessed those foreign transaction fees. If the merchant that you are interacting with, so let's say you are booking a hotel in Greece, where I'm from originally, and you're booking your hotel and over the phone, and you haven't left from the U.S., and the merchant over there charges your credit card. Well, the merchant is located outside the U.S., so you're subject to those foreign transaction fees, even though you are still physically in the U.S. And that's a very important point also.
Oh, I bet people don't even think about that.
That's exactly right. And that's where actually a lot of those fees can happen, because some of the most expensive, biggest expenses that we have incurred when traveling, for a lot of them, we book them ahead of time before we even leave the country.
And that would be if you're renting a car or doing anything like that.
Exactly, or booking a trip with a flight with a local airline.
Yes, with an international airline that's located in that country. Many of us do. We go somewhere, and then within that country, we travel on their local airplanes to places. So, yes, that could be a lot of money.
10% of a foreign trip is a lot of money for anyone.
Boy, it really is. So the place to go to find it is cardhub.com. And you say this is something that you all do each year, so you compare all of these credit cards and services. Now, TravelX is an organization that you find within the airports, but here it's substantially more, I believe, to use TravelX.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Is TravelX cost you more than some cards that aren't? Don't have any fee?
So banks on average charge 6.7% more than a no foreign fee card.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, what we found out that is that most credit unions, out of 4 of the 35 that we surveyed,
mm-hmm.
offer currency conversion services. So don't count on your credit union to really be able to help you in this regard. And even when they do, their fees and costs are similar to banks.
Mm-hmm.
TravelX is 10% more expensive based on this year's survey than a no foreign fee card or debit card.
Oh, my goodness. And from what you said, that's less than it has been in the past. Okay, we're going to take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Odysseus Papadimitriou. We are talking about ways to save you money on your credit cards and on your travel and so on. Okay, we're ready to go. Yes, and now let's talk about some of the ways that you can save money, because in your study on currency conversions, you came up with several recommendations for consumers. So can we start on talking about that? You talk about using a Visa or MasterCard network. You say that they're the most widely accepted and widely recognized, and they have no currency exchange fees. And there are a bunch of others, too, but there's some other issues there that you were talking about. Like credit unions and so on. You want to pick up on that?
Absolutely. So there are 5 tips that we came up at Card Hub for international travelers. One is obviously use a no foreign transaction fee credit card,
mm-hmm.
as this gives you the best conversion rate that you can get and save up to 10%. Number 2, you will obviously need some access to cash. So having access to a no foreign fee debit card or one with low international fees, that is also a good idea so that you can also access cash in an inexpensive way.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, notify your bank of your travel plans, or they may think there is fraud on your account. And
oh, that's such a great point, yes.
A lot of us forget to do that, and after the first transaction, we can no longer use our cards, and so that's key.
And I've heard from consumers that that's happened too, so yeah, that could be really difficult.
Absolutely. And the next tip, which is related to that, is get the phone number of your bank to be able to call them collect from abroad. Every bank has a non-800 number that you can use, and they will accept collect calls. And that's a great way to get in touch with them if you have any difficulty whatsoever.
I love that idea. Yes, because, my goodness, if you don't have access to an international phone system, I mean, if you don't have your own private cell phone or whatever that you can make international calls, you're going to be kind of stuck on making phone calls. It's going to cost you a small fortune.
Absolutely, with roaming fees and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Telecom companies these days are as sophisticated or more than banks in finding all different ways to charge you a fee.
That's true.
All right. And another very important tip is a lot of merchants abroad will pretend that they want to convenience you, and they will say, oh, would you like to see your transaction in U.S. dollars? And you will be like, of course, yeah, it's so much easier to see my receipt on U.S. dollars rather than seeing my receipt on euros or whatever the local currency may be. Don't get tricked by that. What they are trying to do in those cases is they're trying to do the currency conversion themselves, and in those cases, they would charge an additional 7%.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. And that's another way for them to jack up your price, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so while it may be inconvenient, always ask that your receipts get printed on the local currency.
Okay.
And then use your phone or a calculator to convert that to U.S. dollars. But don't let them do the conversion. This is a practice called dynamic conversion, and that can also cost you a small fortune if you're not aware of it.
Oh, my gracious. I had no idea. That's a new one on me. Okay. Is that our little checklist for consumers traveling abroad?
Yeah. Well, the only last thing is bring with you, depending on the country that you are, a lot of European countries may require an ID in order to accept a U.S. credit card. And the reason for that is the U.S. credit cards use magnetic stripe, whereas in Europe, they have transitioned to using a more sophisticated technology, chip and PIN type of technology. So they may require to see your ID. And don't be shocked by that. I know that in the U.S., we never get asked for our IDs when we use our cards. But be prepared for that, depending on the country that you're traveling.
Yeah, just make sure you have identification with you when you're going to use those cards. That's a great, great point. Okay, you've helped save us money on travel. Now, tell me, am I going to be able to collect all those reward points that I'm going to get on my credit card when I travel? Or charge everything?
That's a great question.
Put that hotel on there, and I'm going to come back, and I've got all those reward points. Am I going to be able to use them?
Well, that's a great question, and we recently did another study looking at the rewards limitations,
mm-hmm.
and there are a few different things that consumers should keep in mind about ways that credit card companies try to either limit how many rewards you earn or prevent you from using all of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or maybe prevent you from getting the full value of your rewards. So let's start with the earning part. There are four areas that consumers should keep an eye on. One is some cards have an overall earning cap. This is not something that's relevant for most consumers, but if you're a heavy spender, that's something to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you may say, over the course of the year, you cannot earn more than 50,000 points. Any transactions you make beyond that point, they will not earn any rewards.
Okay, so you may want to have a second credit card as a backup.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Second one is they may say you need to spend a certain minimum to before you can earn points. And from our survey that we looked at the 10 largest credit card issuers, none of the 10 big guys are doing that. But
really?
That doesn't mean that if you have a credit card from a smaller issuer, that you may not find something like that. So keep an eye on that as well.
So there's a limit on how much you can spend and get credit for in terms of rewards, okay?
Exactly. The third thing to keep is that there is some cards have offered you additional rewards, but it comes with the requirement that you sign up every quarter in order to get those additional rewards
Okay.
So, for example, and they rotate. They say, on the month of June, we will give you 5% on gas. On the month of July, we'll give you 5% on travel.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely want to take advantage of those 5%, but you need to keep an eye on them and make sure that you are signing up on time and before the quarter starts, so that you do not sign up mid-quarter and then for half of the quarter you haven't used that additional earnings. That
okay. So sign up for whatever you want to apply those things to.
Exactly. And do that before the quarter starts.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent information. Other stuff on...
And the last thing is that in some cards they have a tiered structure. So they might say, you will earn 5%, but only up to $1,000 a month. And then after that, you will earn 1% or something of that nature.
Okay, so you got to read the fine print, what you're really telling me. And Odysseus, we all hate the fine print.
We do. But I think if you know what you're looking for, it's much easier to detect. And obviously, there's cards that have much less of this and others that have more of that. And so that's why it really pays to kind of do your homework.
You've got to read the fine print. That's what you're telling me. Okay. Moving on. We're going to read the fine print. Let's let our listeners, however, know that they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Odysseus Papadimitriou. He is the CEO of CardHub.com, and they've done some recent really significant studies on ways that we can save money and protect our reward points. Interesting information, Odysseus. Now, let's move on. You did a recent study on the user-friendly cards to small businesses. I found that very interesting because small businesses sometimes have such a narrow margin of profit that any way they can save money is useful. And the things that you were looking at were the ways that credit card companies treat small businesses, right?
Yes. And apparently... a big, big portion of small businesses, around 30% of them, rely on credit card debt. And in the last few years, we had new legislation that brought a lot of transparency in the credit card space. But for some reason, small business credit cards were left out of those protections. You know, politicians are really good in talking about how important small businesses are to the economy. But when it came time to protect, give them the same protections, they left them out.
Oh, really? So how does that impact on a small business? That's going to impact on the bottom line.
The most important way that it impacts them is there is a protection for consumers that a credit card company can no longer increase the interest rate on your existing balance unless you become 60 days delinquent. It used to be the case that an executive could wake up one morning and say, let's change the interest rates on those cards from 10% to 15% for no reason.
I know. I remember all the consumer complaints we've had at Call for Action about credit card interest rates changing.
And you hadn't done nothing wrong.
That's right. And it was not consumers that were in debt or owed a lot of money. I mean, it could be anybody.
Anybody. And for no reason, just because an executive wanted to get a higher bonus or meet his goals, and out of the blue, he would jack up the interest rate. Well, politicians and regulators realized that that was not fair for consumers, so they stopped allowing them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can only increase the interest rate on your credit card only on future transactions, which gives you the chance to say, you know what, I don't want to.
Right, and they have to give you notice
exactly.
For that. So there's protection. So you're saying that a small business does not have this protection?
No, only Bank of America has proactively extended this protection from the 10 largest issuers
really?
To its cardholders, and every other issuer does not. So as a small business owner, if you have debt on a small business credit card, here's the other interesting thing. You are personally liable for that debt. So, you know, a lot of small business owners think that because it's a small business credit card, they're not personally liable. That's wrong. All of these cards hold the owners personally liable.
Really?
So while you're personally liable, you get none of the personal protection.
Wow.
And literally, they can change the cost of debt on your business overnight without you having done anything wrong. It's very unfair.
Are they required to give notice to the business that the rates are going up? You know?
Most of them are giving notice. They're not required because they didn't extend the same protections. A lot of issuers have proactively extended that protection.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, if you have decided to purchase some equipment for your business worth $10,000, and you put them on a credit card and you say, I'm going to put them on this credit card because it's a good interest rate and I can pay it off in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even though they can give you a notice, 30 days, 40 days, whatever it may be, that doesn't help you much, because after the notice period, you would, had you known the higher interest rate, you might have decided to postpone the decision of buying that equipment.
Of course, or go somewhere else and find another credit card.
Exactly. And So our advice to small business owners is, since the credit card companies are keeping you personally liable, whether you're getting a small business credit card or a general consumer credit card, is go and get a general consumer credit card and put your small business debt on that one, so that at least you get the protections and you are not subject to arbitrary interest rate increases.
Yeah, I was interested to find out that some of the credit cards, if a company is in debt, even though it's an incorporated business and supposedly the owner of that business is, you know, they're protected from having their personal assets seized, that this information can end up on their credit report, their personal credit report.
Yeah, most issuers would do that as well. So they're holding you personally liable, and if you start missing payments, they will report on your personal credit report as well. So for all intents and purposes, these cards are personal credit cards. They're branded as small business vehicles. So why they didn't get the same protections as general consumer cards got is not something I understand.
Do you think that issue will be addressed? That these...
Well, there is a piece of legislation to extend the Card Act, but according to websites that track the percent chances that different pieces of legislation have to pass, in the current state of politics, there is only 1% chance. So I wouldn't count on that.
Don't count on it. And you also name some of the banks that are the least friendly to businesses.
That's exactly right. And what we meant by that is how much of the protections have they extended proactively.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to recognize Bank of America for proactively extending all of those protections. But some banks like Wells Fargo and U.S. Bank, they haven't extended. They are, again, from the largest issuers, they have extended the least protections on a proactive basis.
Well, you know, this is something that businesses should take into consideration when they're considering cards for their company. If they're starting a new company, this is certainly something to look at. And you know what? It seems to me, Odysseus, that this would be the time to go in with the bank and negotiate with them as to whether or not they're going to extend these protections to you.
That's exactly right. I think the more small business owners know about those type of gotchas and loopholes, the more they can vote with their feet and kind of reward the issuers that are extending those protections and kind of keep their business away from those that want to kind of catch them unprepared and raise their rates.
Yeah, well, and that can be very significant. My son owns a small business. I know I'm going to pass this information on to him and make sure that he's aware of it. He probably is, but you never know. And it's certainly new information to me, much of what you've been telling me today. I think your studies are wonderful. I think they're just fabulous for cardholders and ways that you can save money. I particularly like saving money when I travel. I like to travel. Traveling abroad.
Yeah.
Do you have some things coming up in the future that we can talk about?
We're
just almost out of time, so I guess that this is the appropriate time for me to say how much I've enjoyed having you on the program. I think the information you've passed on will help both consumers and small business owners, and that's quite an accomplishment there. And I know there are other studies that you've done that we'll have to talk and discuss in the future. So thank you so much. My guest has been Odysseus Papadimitriou. He is the CEO of CardHub.com. I'm Shirley Rooker with Consuming Interest right here on WFED Radio. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.